Good morning and welcome to Mountain Money. Another sunny day, sadly, in a ski town, but there are some slight chances of snow coming up later in the week, but only slight. This is Larry Warren along with my co-host Doug Wells, and this is Mountain Money, our show about making money, investing it wisely, spending it wisely, all of that. And toward that end, we're going to talk about some ideas in business, and specifically ideas in management, with the editor of the Harvard Review Blog Network. Catherine Bell is on the line with us, and we'll be talking to her about the ideas that shaped management in 2013.
And that's going to be an interesting conversation. The Harvard Business Review has some really interesting articles, as well as some podcasts. Folks are going to want to listen in and hear what Catherine Bell has to say. It's really the best of 2013.
You, too, can get a Harvard education this morning.
It is amazing the quality of some of the services and lectures that you can get for free on the Internet now. And that's one of the sources that I like to go to on a regular basis. Larry, our second guest is going to be Patty Hart. She's the Managing Director of Institutional Relationships at TIAA Cref. They did a nationwide study towards the end of last year, and they found some differences in how investors seek advisors here in Utah versus the rest of the nation. I think it has some interesting findings there. And then our final guest is going to be, we're bringing the show back local. It's going to be Craig Van Strelen. He is the owner of Park City Broiler. Most of us here in Park City know Wasatch Bagel and Grill, and the Park City Broiler is right next to the Wasatch Bagel and Grill, owned by Craig as well. And actually, interestingly, Larry, a friend of mine the other day was saying, boy, if you haven't been to the Park City Broiler, Doug, I know you like a value and you like a good meal, and you get both at the Park City Broiler, so you're going to want to listen in and hear what Craig's
doing. Yeah, and I was actually just there at the Bagel and Grill side and said, what's that hole in the wall doing there? It looks like there's a whole nother restaurant there.
Yep. And, I did the exact same thing a couple weeks ago. I wish I'd gone in and had dinner. Anyways, you're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
This is Chris Robinson with Prudential Utah Real Estate, and we've been supporting KPCW since day one. Prudential Utah helps buyers and sellers with their home needs, whether it's a condo, single-family house, or undeveloped land. Our agents know our community and our local market. More information can be found at pru-utah.com.
Juniper Landing is proud to support our local radio station, KPCW. Juniper Landing is a new, whole ownership townhome community located at the base of Canyons Resort, adjacent to the Waldorf Astoria Park City, with a model open daily. Our website is juniperlandingparkcity.com.
And welcome back to Mountain Money here in Park City, sunny Park City, sunny and chilly Park City this morning. Catherine Bell is joining us now from the Harvard Business Review blog. You are editor of the Harvard Business Review blogs and came out with a blog recently called The Ideas That Shaped Management in 2013. And I guess the first question was there any distinctive trend? I mean, management goes on year in, year out, but did you notice specific things that were gelling differently in 2013?
I think there was some new honesty about a few issues, which I thought was really exciting. So one thing was about really looking at some longstanding HR practices, and so there were some interesting trends there. Thinking about whether interviews are really the best way of hiring someone, for example, or whether annual performance reviews even work. And another thing I thought was interesting was the idea of agility, which can be applied in all sorts of contexts, from launching a new business even to how you think about managing your own emotions. That was interesting, too.
And, you know, one of the things wrote about is it's kind of a takeoff on Sheryl Sandberg of Yahoo, who wrote the book recently that was a business bestseller, and that is the concept that leaning in, which was the title of her book, will only get women so far and families so far, and it's men in business need to back off, basically.
We need to lean out was the title, I think.
So some men need to lean out so women can lean in. What do you mean by that?
Well, that actually came from a post by an author of ours, James Allworth. He wrote a critique of Lean In, and there was a lot of discussion both on our site and elsewhere about this, which was very much needed. And one of the things that he basically said was that Sheryl Sandberg had talked a lot about what women need to do, and a lot of it was about really copying how men have been successful in the workplace. And what James said was, you know, we should look at whether the things that men are doing even work for men, let alone for women and for families. So one example is confidence. So women tend to be less confident in business situations than men, but there's a real question about whether men are actually overconfident and whether that makes them less competent in a lot of situations.
You know, what I like about your list is, and I actually did your list a little bit of a disservice at the intro, and I apologize for that. I really called it a best of, and you do a good point in the intro of your article saying this really isn't a best of. This is really articles that as a community cause us to think differently. And one of the sections that you have is really about some of the changes that are coming to the knowledge industry, the universities. And that's a passion that I have. I was fortunate enough to go to Stanford. I saw in your bio you were fortunate enough to get to go to Yale. Those are amazing experiences that I think is valuable for as many people as possible in the country to experience. And so I wanted you to talk a little bit about what are some of the services that folks can subscribe to for free from the Harvard Business Review.
Well, we publish a lot on our website. We publish over 100 pieces a month, and those are all free. And it's really exciting because some of them are by the people who write for our magazine, and some are new voices, people, you know, who are either younger academics or people from all over the world who are either consulting to really interesting companies or who are working in interesting companies and talking about what's new. So that's really helpful and exciting, I think, both in terms of helping people stay on top of the newest ideas in management, as well as you mentioned earlier, some of the same issues just come up over and over again. Management is about people, and people are very difficult. And so sometimes we need to keep learning the same thing over and over again and thinking differently and in new ways about the same problems. And we try to do that as well. We also have a podcast that comes out once a week that I think is a very good way of getting one angle into what we're thinking about.
Yeah, and the podcasts are typically done by the authors of some of the articles that are posted in Harvard Business Review as well, and it gives you a different take on some of the interesting articles you might read.
That's right.
So let's talk about some of the other articles that have appeared in the blog in the last year and that you've highlighted, and one would be Silicon Valley, of course, has been leading the charge for years in terms of new management practices, and one of your bloggers writes about what we can learn from the management of startups in Silicon Valley, and what are those startups doing differently that those in more traditional, older, more mature businesses are not doing?
Well, one thing is the lean startup methodology, which has been around for a few years now, but is really starting to catch on in larger and more established companies, and that's really about taking a minimal and iterative approach to launching new products and new businesses. So you really basically learn by putting something, the simplest thing you can, out in the marketplace and then finding out what your customers do with it and inventing both the product and the business model as you go along. So that's a really exciting thing to see being taken on more widely. And then another thing is how some of the startups in Silicon Valley and, frankly, now some of the more established companies there handle top talent. They have such a competitive situation in terms of hiring and then keeping the best people. And they've really started experimenting with some different ways of handling that. So the best companies out there really try to hire and keep just the right people, and they treat them like adults. They treat them like adults in a two-way relationship where the company and the person both have to keep seeing the value they're giving to each other in order to stay together. And some of those things are working really well.
And, you know, some of those, speaking of treating folks like adults in the workplace, one of the presentations that a friend of mine shared with me, 6 months ago, was there's an app called SlideShare where you can see slideshows from different organizations. And one was from Netflix HR. My friend sent it to me and said, hey, you've got to take a look at this. It's really good. And it was 125 pages. And I'm like, really? I'm going to look through 125 pages? But it really talks about Netflix and how they treat their employees. And I noticed that presentation made your list for this year of things that caused you to think differently. Talk to our audience about that presentation.
Well, we actually just published an article called How Netflix Reinvented HR by the person behind that SlideShare presentation. And it talks a lot about the principles that they work under, and it really is one of their first principles is treating people like adults. And some of it is hard. I mean, they basically hire people, but they also really ask managers to create the teams they think they need. And if that means letting people go, they let people go. They give people great severance packages, but they're very honest when things aren't working. And they also do things like they don't really worry about expense reports, for example. They just basically ask people to operate in the interest of the company. And so they just ask people to make their own decisions. And the same is true with vacation. So it's interesting, and it's working really well.
Yeah, that was the one of the takeaways that I got from it as well, is how you handle vacation. It's really, you know, if you're really going to treat people like adults, you know, let people take the vacation that they want to take, but with the understanding that you've got a big job that you've got to get done.
Well, I had a relative actually who worked at Microsoft in the early years and well up until about 5 years ago. And their vacation policy, at least for the upper management ranks, I don't know about down there with the code writers, but their vacation policy was get your job done and take the time you need, as long as you get your job done.
Yep.
And that probably leads to, who knows, greater productivity because you want to make sure you've justified your time off.
Yep. No, it definitely would for me. And you think of all the work that you do in the evenings and on the weekends just because it needs to get done. Well, the reward for the family is, you know, maybe you get an extra week of vacation because you've been able to do that. Catherine, another one, excuse me, I had mentioned earlier that I'm a fan of broadening the educational experiences from some of the top educators. And there was an article that you have in there, is the term pronounced MOOC, the massive online MOOC?
Yes.
And the title of the article was Let Them Eat MOOC. And I actually clicked on that link and read it and thought it was pretty fascinating. Tell our audience what MOOC is and what some of the pushback, what the benefits are, and then what some of the pushback is from the educational system.
Well, a MOOC is a free, usually, and very large online course. And so basically it means that anyone, anywhere, can take a course, for example, that's put on by Stanford or sometimes by professional organizations, for example. And so theoretically it has the potential to really democratize higher education, which is really exciting. And so Annie McAfee, one of our bloggers, post arguing that we should actually stop requiring college degrees for jobs, that if people have the knowledge, it doesn't matter actually where they got it from, and that there are so many more opportunities to learn now that we should change our age practices in response to that. The alternative argument is that, in a way, there are certain things about a college education that you just can't replicate. And part of it is being there. It's the network you create. It's the relationships with the professors. It's the small classroom situations. And that, in one sense, if we basically say, well, everybody else has to just take courses online, in a way, it takes away the need to really democratize higher education, that it makes the experience of going to college an even more elite situation, and that could be a problem.
It's going to be interesting to see that develop out. I think 10 years from now, our educational system is going to look very different than it does today.
I think that's right.
Now, another thing that dogs management probably in every company of more than one person or even a one-man or woman band is too much time spent on email and other stuff that's not necessarily productive. And one of your bloggers this year that you highlight has figured out how to come up with 20% more time in a work day. And that has to do with how much reducing the amount of time they spend on email. Is there any magic bullet there?
Well, the email thing is interesting. That was some research that we published in the magazine that showed that the way to stop having so much email is to actually stop your senior executives from emailing so much. And online, we did a really interesting interactive infographic where you could adjust the amount of email that you stopped executives from sending and see the effect it had on the amount of email the rest of the company was sending. So it really needs to be a top-down decision.
You know, and there's another article in your list that talks about productivity and how to get more out of your day. And actually, surprisingly, it's taking the time to move away from work for a little bit and make sure you get your exercise in.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody that likes to exercise, you know, 5 days a week, I was glad to see that's a good decision I'm making.
Good.
Some of these are counterintuitive, but you know, that's the type of thing that I think is really valuable. You know, when I talk to young people that are ambitious and you know, they're talking to several folks and just asking for ideas, one of the things I tell them is go to bed half an hour earlier. This sounds silly, but it's had a big impact on my life. Go to bed a half hour earlier and wake up a half hour earlier. And while you're working out, listen to something worthwhile. You know, yeah, it's great to listen to music while you're working out, but if you can listen to Harvard's got the Harvard Business Review, that's on my list. Stanford's got the Stanford Entrepreneurial Thought Leaders, which is an excellent series. If you can listen to those for 20 or 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, it really will change your outlook on life and will help you reach for higher goals.
And we've actually published a lot in the past year about the importance of sleep as well. That getting enough sleep is critical to being able to make good decisions and to be able to get the work you need to get done.
And Catherine, good advice for everyone, and sometimes hard to follow when there's something good on TV or you're into a book or something. But let's end on one last question about technology and 3D printing. And this is a blogger who on your site who has predicted that 3D printing will precipitate China's fall from being the top of the heap for manufacturing and send power back to the West. And another blogger talked about how 3D printing is going to beef up the African economy and workforce.
Well, it's really potentially a hugely disruptive technology because you can basically start to manufacture products without the level of infrastructure that's been necessary in the past. So the idea is that could be incredibly powerful, both for more developed parts of the world and also for places like Africa.
Yeah, it really is surprising. Several of the articles talked about the economic possibilities in Africa, and it seems like the next decade is really could make things very different on the African continent than they are today.
I hope so.
You know, we were talking about getting enough sleep. It was part of my research for this interview. Just did a quick Google search and saw your Twitter feed, and I see you've got a 2-year-old. So you're probably struggling with getting enough sleep. And I do have a question for you. Is your 2-year-old really into skinny tuba?
Yes. Yes, she is.
That's the New Orleans band, right? I was curious who skinny tuba was. I should know, but I don't. And I did a quick search on them, and they're the New Orleans, a jazz band. Is that correct?
Yes, it's actually Tuba Skinny, and she's very into both tubas in general and New Orleans jazz.
That's funny. That's pretty sophisticated musical taste for a two-year-old.
Yeah, she's obsessed.
I suspect
really
mom
nice
might
to have
be.
On.
Mom might be a little obsessed with music as well.
Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us. Catherine Bell, the editor of the Harvard Business Review, a blog network, and the author of The Ideas That Shaped Management in 2013. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for
thanks,
having me.
Thanks, Catherine, and sorry for the technical difficulties at the start.
Now, next we're going to be talking with Craig Van Strelen with the new Park City Broiler, and we'll find out what's cooking in Park City. But first, a look at the weather. We're heading for a high of 39 today, so not as chilly as it's been, and a low of 17. Much better tonight. We'll have a slight chance of snow at 20% tonight and 30% tomorrow night. And we will be back. Actually, we'll be talking with Patty Hart of TIAA CREF about a new study dealing with Utah, and we will be back with Patty Hart after this.
Just because it's white outside doesn't mean you can't stay green.
Listen to This Green Earth every Tuesday at 9 a.m.
Discussing environmental issues from methane gas to moose habitat,
air quality to fire ecology,
and bark beetles to eating bugs.
That's This Green Earth, brought to you by Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough,
Republic Services,
Habitat for Humanity's Restore,
and Rocky Mountain Power.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. We have Patty Hart with us now. She's the Managing Director of Institutional Relationships at TIAA CREF. Welcome to Mountain Money, Patty.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, Patty, I had come across my desk. I work in the financial business, and many of my clients are University of Utah professors or physicians or serve various roles at the University of Utah. And TIAA CREF is one of the providers there for the 403Bs. You guys do a great job. And I'm on your distribution list just for different surveys that you guys do. And this was towards the end of last year, and I saw a survey that caught my attention, which was a nationwide survey that your firm had done, really trying to assess how easy is it for people to find trusted advisors to help them. And then once they find a trusted advisor, what's the impact of working with those trusted advisors? And there was a discrepancy in Salt Lake versus the nation as far as the ability to find a trusted advisor. Can you tell our audience about that?
Sure. So the survey that we did, again, was just looking at attitudes and perceptions and behaviors for people who were seeking financial advice. And you're right, there was a big discrepancy between the number of individuals in Salt Lake who, first of all, felt like they found it difficult to find a trusted advisor, and it was 58% of the people in Salt Lake had difficulty in finding somebody that they felt like they could trust versus 48% nationwide. And along with that, about 57% of Salt Lake residents said that now more than ever they really need a trusted advisor to go to for financial advice, compared to about 46% of all Americans.
And did you guys delve into that a little further and find out what are some of the reasons that it's harder for folks in Salt Lake to find a trusted advisor?
Well, I think one of the things that we found is that, first of all, as I said in the second statistic, there are more people in Salt Lake who are looking for a financial advisor. And they, overall, Salt Lake residents tended to be more prepared. And sort of how that translated was that Salt Lake residents are looking for advice on some unexpected events, things like divorce or the loss of a loved one or during natural disasters. They tend to look for financial advisors to help them through situations like this much more than the average American does. And that was 50% of Salt Lake residents versus only 39% of the average American. So I think they're looking for financial advisors more frequently than on a national basis, and so it sort of follows that they would have a more difficult time finding a trusted financial advisor. They're looking for it more often.
Well, here's a question, Patty, both for you and for my co-host, Doug Wells, who's a certified financial planner and an MBA and a partner at a financial advice firm, management company, Albion Financial, and that is, other than the phone book and word of mouth, how do you find mm-hmm. the one advisor or advisory group that you know you can trust when you don't have any past relationships with them?
Right, and that is a very difficult one. I get that all the time. I've been in the business for about 30 years and definitely get people coming to me all the time asking about how to find an advisor. And there really are a number of ways that we would recommend. You know, certainly the professional organizations, the Financial Planning Association, the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, which are fee-based only, the CFP Board of Standards. And then I would also say, you know, within your own communities, you know, relatives, friends, people who already have an advisor that they really rely on and that they like. And, you know, going back to your initial comment, I think probably one of the less ideal places to find one would be just scanning the phone book. It really is good to go through your network to see who's got someone that they really trust. And then from there, interview people. You know, go talk to several of them and see who you're comfortable with. And a lot of it really is, it's a relationship business. So who is it that you feel like has your best interests at heart, who you're really going to be able to bond with and work with to organize your financial matters?
I think those are all good points. One or two that I would add to that is attorneys that you may happen to work with, either an estate planning attorney or, you know, just other attorneys, other professionals. Accountants are a good source to ask. Both attorneys and accountants have the benefit of, you know, probably working with 300 to 500 families, and they know who those families are working with for their financial and investment help. And they've seen good firms, and they've seen firms that haven't been so good. So I would add to that.
Absolutely.
You know, Patty, here's something you may not have addressed, and it's a bit controversial, but I'll lay it out there anyway. After a career of doing news reporting for one of the TV stations in Salt Lake, I can't count how many stories I did on affinity scams. Mm-hmm. In investment advice that you get, and in Utah, it is through mostly the LDS Ward network that somebody on the inside says, I've got a really good one. I did was diamonds. I've got a good thing going in diamonds, and it spreads through various affinity groups. In Utah, it's mostly LDS. In other places, it would be other groups. Is that one reason why maybe it's a good thing in that people are more skeptical, and that's why they have a harder time here finding the right advice? Have you thought about that at all in the context of the study?
Well, it's very interesting that you bring that up, Larry, because, you know, having grown up in Salt Lake, and I was away for about 18 years, but having grown up in here, you know, I saw some of the same information. And when we looked at the results of Salt Lake City versus the nation, and people at TI Cref who had sort of orchestrated the survey were wondering about the big difference, and I mentioned some of that there's been some of that over the years, and that could account for the difference in trust, in the difficulty in finding a financial advisor, is they really don't know which resources to trust.
You know, and one resource that you can trust that people often do not go to, but they really should, is the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, which regulates most financial advisors, not all. But they have a website, sec.gov, that you can go to and very easily check the background and history of a firm. And it's hard when you're just talking to one firm, but if you talk to 3 or 4 firms and look those 3 or 4 firms up on sec.gov, you will see some differences pop up very quickly. So that's
a
great
point,
resource.
And the sort of the other organization I would recommend people take a look at is FINRA, so the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and you can do There's something called a broker check on the FINRA website, and it's just finra.org. And you can also get in information on individuals that you're thinking about working with.
And both of those sound like big organizations, and a website's going to take forever to navigate through. At least on SEC.gov, it's on the front. It's on the homepage. I think it's the upper left-hand corner where it says "Check out your financial advisor."
Okay.
So it's very easy to do. And FINRA, as you mentioned, is the other major regulator, is also a good source. Well, Patty, we thank you for joining us. You know, the stat that it's a little harder to find trusted advice in Salt Lake City, but I want to close on your study also shows that once a family hooks up with a trusted financial advisor, they're much more likely than the national average to follow the advice of that advisor, 90% versus 81%.
That's
and they're
right.
And they're also more likely to start saving more money, which is a good thing, almost 60% versus 50% nationwide.
Right.
Patty, we thank you for joining us. Our guest is Patty Hart. She is the Director of Institutional Relationships at TIAA CREF. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, Larry and Doug.
Thank you, and we'll be back to learn about the Park City Broiler, new in the Snow Creek Center, after this.
Park City Realty Group is proud to support KPCW. Park City Realty Group has provided real estate services to buyers and sellers since 2005. Our team shares local knowledge and insight with clients who value the Park City lifestyle. Knowledge plus hard work equals success. 649-1991 or parkcityrealtygroup.com.
Underwriting on KPCW is supported by Mountain West Bank in Park City, a community bank offering home financing service and guidance. Mountain West Bank is located near Kearns Boulevard next to the movie theater. More information at mountainwestbank.com. Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. Interesting conversation with Patty. I think some important insights on that TIAA CREF study. In studio with us now is Craig Van Strahlen. He is the owner of Park City Broiler. He's also the owner of Wasatch Bagel and Grill, which we've known here in town for almost 20 years. Craig, welcome to the Mountain Money.
Thanks for having me on. Come down.
You know, it was funny. Beth Fracken, our producer here, sent me an email saying, hey, here's the guest that we're going to have coming up here next Monday. And she does a great job of lining up our guests for us and helping us produce the show. And over Christmas, I was having breakfast with a buddy of mine, and he was telling me he knows I like a good meal, and he knows I like value when I go out. And he said, you know where I just went? I just went to the Park City Broiler, and Doug, you should check it out because it's a great place. You're going to love it. And then I got the email from Beth saying you're going to be our guest this morning. So when did Park City Broiler open?
It's been about 2 weeks, about 2.5 weeks. And thanks for the kind words. I think that's kind of what we wanted to do there is have a restaurant where fast casual, you go in, it's not an arm and a leg. There's a lot of good restaurants up here, and they're pretty pricey. We just wanted to offer something that was a little bit higher grade or caliber and have it be more, I'd say, in the $10 range, around 10.
Now, you say you've been open 2 weeks, but I'd gone there with my girls, actually, on the bagel side of the business for hamburgers, and this was middle of December, probably. And Larry, as you pointed out, I saw the hole in the wall connecting the new restaurant, and I thought, hey, I wonder what that is. So did you guys do a soft open sometime in the middle of December?
Yeah, we just really was important to us to open up, and not really do a big, huge grand opening, just to get a lot of our recipes and all of our other operational things in order. And that's been a good thing. We just opened quietly, let it grow organically with some people that want to just let their friends know and bring them down. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of work. And it's, being tied with the bagel shop, it's fun to have people walk over and look, peek in and go, what's going on? And so it's been fun to kind of grow it that way.
So do you have traffic back and forth between the two businesses? Can you grab a table on one side with food from the other side and get an entree on one side and a smoothie or something on the other?
That's exactly right. You know, people pay, as you know, a lot of money for advertising to get people in your store. So we welcome people that are sitting in the either side and go to the other side to eat or drink or, you know, just hang out for hours and do their work. You know, the bagel shop's evolved. I'm the sixth owner. It's been there probably 18 years as Big City Bagel, then Wasatch Bagel. So I'm the one that got to reap a lot of the rewards of how it's grown over the years. And it's kind of been the motto of where Park City meets. And if you go in there, you just see all different people, executives with ski bums, everybody in between.
So. Well, you know, the Snow Creek Center, and it's where Park City Market is, for those who don't know the formal name of it, has kind of become the go-to place for locals to eat because there's a variety of restaurants there that are certainly priced lower than Main Street and the restaurants that cater more to the tourist trade.
And parking's easy and parking's
and,
free.
Yeah, and you can pull up and park and not worry about tickets and all that.
You know, Craig, it's interesting you say that folks can go both you know, to one restaurant or the other. Because my girls wanted hamburgers, and I saw the other restaurant. I'm like, you know, I bet I could get some salmon over there. But I didn't do that. I wasn't, you know, quite sure how all that worked, and I should have. So I do think there's definitely an audience that will say, hey, you know, some of the people I'm with want, you know, bagels or just a sandwich, and somebody else wants a kind of an entree. And it's nice to be able to do both in one place.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. You know, I got friends that own the Miner's Grill and the bar there. And then we've got, you know, a new tea place that just opened up in Snow Creek. And we've got down the other side Nick's. And, you know, at the grocery store and the liquor store, it just really is been a great property over the years, how it's grown with the people coming in for all the different reasons.
Teriyaki Grill is over there, too. They'd be one of your neighbors.
They're also very, very popular and seem to have been there for quite a while before I've arrived here, of course.
But. So talk about the menu on the broiler side. Different menu, obviously, from the bagel side.
Yeah, it's just it's really fun. And we're getting the menu worked out. It looks pretty hodgepodgey. We need to redo it. But to give you an idea, the five main entrees we go for, we want to promote, are the half chicken that's marinated for days and then slow cooked for hours, and then we bring it out and broil it when you order it. The salmon, the whitefish, the ribs, and the hand-carved tri-tip that we use, where we carve it fresh right when you order it and serve it with entrees. We probably have 15, 20 entrees that are all made from scratch, our salsa, and our sauce bar out in the front is all homemade, handmade every week. And so you've got a lot of different sides with those proteins we build out from the center of the plate. My very, very good friend Brad Grieve, who was involved. He's my partner in success. I do buy food from Nicholas. He's been wonderful on helping with a lot of the recipes. And they're really healthy, but they're also very uniquely good. You take them home, and you've got a pretty good caliber meal that you can get. And it's, you know, we've geared it all around 50, you know, bucks for a family. You come in with your family, and that's probably a good price range when you look around it, you know. When you head up the ski mountain and all.
Yeah, so. Right. If somebody wants to grab a beer or get a glass of wine, they can do that as well. You've got a full liquor license.
Yeah, we got it. We got a beer and wine, but we also, looking down the road, it's been a good opening. We want to go to a full alcohol license and maybe gear the, you know, we're letting the concept kind of grow and evolve naturally, but we'd like to see maybe a little bit of a bar thing down there. Well, one of the things is down on Kearns, there's a lot of new places opening. We're trying to become just the other hub for, you know, down below Main Street. For example, the you know, Jesse and Frank just opened up the Boneyard and all that over there with Miners, and then with our place, we can kind of maybe bring some people down there where they can get around a little bit easier during some of the busier times in Park City.
That's a good point. You know, Sundance is coming up. It's hard to get reservations at a restaurant. And, you know, you've got parking there, and you probably stop by and get a nice meal during Sundance without needing a reservation or having to wait an hour to get a table.
And the Boneyard is across the street in the yard. And likewise, it has a big parking lot in front. So it's more of a kind of neighborhood, I guess, tavern, as opposed to Main Street, which would be a destination experience, the Main Street experience. This is more just in and out, get some good food, reasonable price, and go on with your day. Or hang out, because to describe the atmosphere, the ambiance of the broiler.
Yeah, I mean, you're forgetting that we've got the beautiful graveyard down there. For that's kind of some ambiance for the tourists to walk around and check out.
Can't get a drink there, though.
All around it, but not there. But yeah, it's the ambiance. We kind of did a whimsical kind of a just something different and unique where you walk in, you see some different colors, and next the end of the week we're going to be hanging some artwork on one of the pictures, but it's just kind of a fun, eclectic place you walk into. Of course, the bagel shop has a completely different feel with all the pictures. You know, we get so many celebrities in and out of there and other unique people that have done some pretty interesting things in life. So it's fun to get their picture and have them write something. And we've put it up on the wall. So, you know, that's a completely different ambiance than the broiler. It's something you got to come down and check out just see what it looks like. It looks like a broiler restaurant.
And, you know, part of the ambiance of the Snow Creek Plaza is it's right there on what I call McLeod Creek Trail. So in the summertime, you know, you're going for a bike ride with your friends. It's a convenient location. And you go there, and there's a bunch of people in their bike outfits hanging out there. In the wintertime, McLeod Creek Trail, you can skate ski. So you skate ski over there, grab a bagel, and skate ski back down home. So, Craig, you mentioned you're the sixth owner of the Wasatch Bagel.
Do you want me to name it?
Well, no, actually, I was going to ask your experience. How long have you been here in Park City, and what brought you to Park City, and then why buy a bagel shop?
Well, frankly, needed to find a restaurant. I had a few down in Salt Lake I sold and just wanted to make a change, and that came around, and it was just a wonderful. I'm so fortunate. I think in life, timing's everything. It was just I've really lucked out in finding that place, and just kind of enhancing it, putting the full grill in. We sell about as many hamburgers as we do bagels. So we put the grill in. That kind of grew it to another little facet, kind of a family restaurant type of atmosphere. But I really, one of my regrets, I wish I'd have moved in Park City a long time ago. I've lived in Salt Lake and from Northern California originally. And just really, I've been here 5.5 years, and it's just been, in all areas, it's just been wonderful. The people and the community and just all the neat things it offers. What a jewel. What a wonderful place to live. And the people here are just so many amazing people that do so much work here for the community. It's cool.
You know, I moved here just a couple years before you. And one of my regrets, like you, and I think it speaks to what a great place we live, is my regret is I didn't move here sooner. So
that's mine, too.
I've had a lot of people say that, and it's good to hear you say that as well. Well, Craig, we thank you for joining us. Our guest is Craig Von Strelen. He is the owner of Park City Broiler, which is new, and for the last 6 years has also owned the Wasatch Bagel and Grill. Craig, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks. My pleasure.
And we'll be back to wrap up Mountain Money after this.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longreimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com, VaultHomeLoans.com, Purchase and Refinance Mortgages, Conventional FHA and VA, 801-201-3484, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
I want to thank our great guest this morning, Catherine Bell, and our apologies for having the buttons in the wrong positions here on the on our side of the console here. But our guests were Catherine Bell from Harvard, Patty Hart from TIAA CREF, financial services provider in Salt Lake and nationwide, and Craig Von Strelen just here talking about his new venture next to his current venture. The current venture, Wasatch Bagel and Grill, the new one right next door, Park City Broiler. And I just wanted to close with something I found on a Forbes blog, Doug, and we all know this syndrome too well, and that is the title on the Forbes blog is Why Successful People Never Bring Smartphones Into Meetings.
And it's just good advice, and I think we all instinctually know it, but it's good to know. Now there's been a survey. You know, when your boss is holding a meeting, leave your cell phone in your pocket and turn the ringer off.
I mean, it just astounds me that, and I think it's getting a little better, but it continues to astound me that people consider answering the cell phone the absolute priority in their lives. And yeah. And they will be in a meeting, they'll be in church, they'll be
You're a public speaker. You do a lot on Park City history.
I do a lot.
You occasionally have people in the audience surfing the web.
As a speaker, I feel kind of insulted.
Yeah.
It's like you're in the audience, but you're not paying attention. You'd rather be doing something else. That's the message you're sending. And maybe you can absorb what's being said by any speaker, but nonetheless, it's just kind of insulting to be standing there.
It's not good for your career, so quit doing it.
Indeed. And of course, the message is always out there to not do it while driving. Absolutely. So I want to thank our great sponsors, Park City Realty Group, Mountain West Bank, Iron Mountain Group, Park City Chamber, Prudential Real Estate, and San Francisco Design. Thank you all for helping us bring Mountain Money to the air, and we appreciate you all. Again, the forecast is for patchy fog mornings, but a high of 39 today, 38 tomorrow. Chance of about 20% chance of snow tomorrow, so a little bit of a chance, but don't hold your breath. This is KPCW Park City.